time for the Bay Area's favorite radio call-in quiz show, Minds Over Matter. This week, host Dana Rodriguez is joined by Kira Pace and Laurie Fisher. If it's Sunday night, it's got to be Dana Rodriguez, your host.
Thank you, David. That band is playing right in my ear. Anyway, welcome to Minds Over Matter. We hope you are having a lovely Sunday. And we hope you can spare us an hour of your time tonight because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, that's what we're looking for. Feel free to give us a call. We have two numbers, area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, yes, we have a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. We'll be taking calls on just about every subject. We try to keep it sort of toward the arts and culture area, but, you know, it's sort of up to you, really. You're the caller. Again, that's 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, 866-798-8255. Also want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. Again, that is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That is the numeral one. So that is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. It's always great to hear from you. We are all doing the show via Zoom tonight, so be patient with us. And also, if you would like to listen in a live stream, that is at kalw.org. And of course, the podcast should be up in a reasonable amount of time after our show tonight. That will also be at kalw.org and many other places as well. Start with KALW. I'm sure they would appreciate that. All right. All that being said, we will start with a round of introductions. But before we move to that, I also want to remind you to please call in early in the show if that's possible for you. Especially if you have a question in mind, it's always great to call early because we want to get as many people on as possible. And we don't want to miss out on any of your great questions. So again, call in early if you can do it. Now is the good time. All right. So as I said, we're going to start with a round of introductions. And here's the first for Kira Pace. The hardest part being home after more than a month away is repeatedly explaining to the dog that midday drive through RB sliders are a road trip treat and not the norm.
She's actually standing here right now wondering if we're going to go ahead and go to Arby's and get her that that drive-through slider. And we are not, but she doesn't.
She should suffer because of you don't want to go there?
I know. Fun. And also the fact that there's no Arby's nearby. You have to drive to like San Jose to get her fix.
I think my husband, Greg, and your dog could go to Arby's together because maybe that's his favorite restaurant.
Greg will swing by.
It must be a Midwest thing because my husband digs it too. So it was a month of a lot of Arby's, which is a terrible title for my novel. I think. Yeah. Great. So now that he is spending 24 hours a day working on this on Spelling Bee and Wordle, Laurie Fisher hardly has any time at all to write his introductions. This will have to do.
It will. I have just discovered Wordle, which
Wordle is one even word a day.
Yeah, that's not enough. It's plenty. It takes me plenty long. And since he doesn't drink or smoke and has already lost the weight he wanted to, our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, can only resolve to not keep a journal, be less organized, and spend less time with family and friends. Welcome to 2022.
You wait to see whether I'm going to keep those resolutions or not.
You've already lost all the weight you wanted to? That's impressive.
Didn't we establish a couple weeks ago that it's like 2 pounds that he just keeps losing and gaining? Was it two? It's like the same two pounds you mentioned?
The same two pounds.
Lost those two, so this two are gone right now. They're on vacation.
Yeah. That's plenty.
Okay. All right. All that being said, we will begin with Kira Pace.
All right. I have a leading question that is not at all timely, followed by a list question. So here's the lead-in. Sue Grafton wrote 25 of the 26 novels in her Alphabet series before her 2017 death. What was the working title of the Z book?
I have the great honor of not having read any of them, so maybe Lori has.
Well, I've read a bunch of them. I think I got through about G or H before I turned my interest elsewhere.
To Wordle, your all-day Wordle searches.
Yeah. So Dana, all of them started with like A is for alibi and B is
yeah,
for...
Yeah, no, that part yeah. I knew.
So the Z is just a guess, obviously. All right. Well, I'll guess Z is for... Nothing comes to mind here, so I'll take the low-hanging zebra.
Which Z I'm sure is not for zebra.
No, I didn't think so. Mm-mm.
Well, while you think what Z might be for and what the working title of that book is, I'm going to give you the names of some fictional literary detectives, and I want you to tell me the authors. So I have 9 detectives for you, so get ready to write 9 detective names. The first one is C. Auguste Dupin. C. Auguste Dupin, D-U-P-I-N. Next one, Perry Mason. The next is Father Brown. Next is William of Baskerville. The next is V.I. Warshawski. Number 6 is Chief Inspector Adam Daglish. Chief Inspector Adam Daglish. Number 7 is Dirk Gently. Number 8 is Kay Scarpetta. Dirk Gently, yeah. Number 8 is Kay Scarpetta. And number 9, let's do Inspector Bucket. So C. Auguste Dupin, Perry Mason, Father Brown, Inspector Morse, V.I. Warshawski, Chief Inspector Adam Daglish, Dirk Gently, Inspector Bucket, and Kay Scarpetta.
All right, Lori, you go ahead if you like.
How many are you giving us? 1 or 2 each?
I'll give you 2 each.
Well, the easiest one is Earl Stanley Garner as Perry Mason.
That is correct, and that's a bell.
And Dana, you want one first?
No, if you go, you take your second one.
I think Dirk Gently is Douglas Adams.
Dirk Gently is Douglas Adams.
Give me my bells, and
all right.
Dana's up.
Well, Father Brown is G.K. Chesterton.
That is correct. And also a bell.
Okay. And, C. Auguste Dupin is Edgar Allan Poe.
That is also correct.
As in the Purloined Letter. And the what's the other one? The Murders in the Rue Morgue.
Yeah. Murders in the Rue Morgue. Yeah.
Yes.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Cool. Okay. So the ones we have left, I think I'm going to add one because I've forgotten already. We have William of Baskerville, Inspector Morse, V.I. Warshawski, Chief Inspector Adam Daglish, Inspector Bucket, and Kay Scarpetta. So that's who we have left for the audience.
All right. And let's see. Lori, you go ahead.
Okay. I have Sidney Poitier passed away this week, and I have 2 questions about Sidney Poitier. The first is that I think everybody knows he was the first Black actor to win the Academy Award.
Incorrect.
Best actor.
Best actor. Okay. Yeah, that's not what you said. Hattie McDaniel.
Yeah, I know Hattie McDaniel. Okay. I want to know who the second one was, and I want to know who the most recent one was. So after he won, I want to know who won the next award. This is for Academy Award for Best Actor, the next Black actor to do that. And then who was the most recent. So let's do that one first, if you can get those.
Was Jamie Foxx the next Black actor to win actor?
Jamie Foxx is in between the 2 you're looking for.
Okay.
Then it's Denzel Washington, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
For which movie?
For Training Day.
Yeah. It only took 38 years for the second one. Very good. And who's the most recent?
So I'm sorry, the most recent to win Best Actor, the most recent to win any Academy?
The most recent to win Best Actor. Yeah, most recent Black actor to win Best Actor. So following the trail of Poitier and Denzel Washington.
Didn't Mahershala Ali win?
Not for Best Actor.
He was supporting, wasn't he?
Yeah. Supporting actor.
He was.
Didn't he?
Yes.
I mix those two awards up all the time.
Maybe that was Jamie Foxx. Huh?
It was not.
It was not Jamie Foxx.
Yeah.
Let me drop in
the other one, too, because it's related. Although Poitier was nominated only twice for American Academy Awards, he was nominated six times for the British Academy of Film for being the best foreign actor. What were those six films?
Well, To Sir With Love must be one.
No, because To Sir With Love was considered a British film. So that.
What about a guest who's coming to dinner?
No, also not on the list.
Then In the Heat of the Night.
Yes, yeah. That's one of them. Give yourself a bell on that one. Looking for five more. I'll let you get two more.
Yeah, I guess Lilies of the Field. Then,
yes, so. Lilies of the Field is good. Carrie, you should get one now.
No, I don't have one. Sorry.
Dana, you want one more?
No, that's fine. We'll leave that out. Okay, so, just repeat those questions.
Yeah. The Sidney Poitier was nominated six times for Best Foreign Actor by the British Academy of Film, and Dana got Lilies of the Field and Heat of the Night, looking for four more. He was the first Black actor to win Academy Award for Best Actor. Denzel Washington was the next one. Who's the most recent one? Those are the two that are out there.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on the Minds of the Matter.
Oh, hi there. I have a question and also a comment, so I guess I'll start with the question first. So of the past 10 presidents, so that's going from Biden back to Nixon, which ones have the same first and last name as their fathers?
I think this sort of came up in a question and I was wrong about one thing. So I think the most recent one is Biden.
That's true.
He's a junior.
Right.
And then... So how many, can you tell us how many there were, the last 10?
Yes, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six out of the last 10. Yeah, I was surprised to realize that myself.
Wait, were you saying that they have the same first name as their father's first name and the same last name as their father's last name, as opposed to say, okay.
Basically, I phrased it that way for the kind of obvious exception.
Yeah, so I think James Earl Carter, I think he has the first same name as his dad, right?
That's right, yes. Jimmy Carter is one as well, yep.
And then George Bush Jr.
George Bush Jr., yes.
Second one.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I think the trickiest one, if I'm correct on this, is Gerald Ford, who was Leslie King Jr., born Leslie King Jr.
Yeah, so he's the most interesting one because he was named after his birth father, Leslie Lynch King. And then when his parents separated, I was just reading, like 16 days after he was born, and his mother married Gerald Rudolph Ford, and he became Gerald Rudolph Ford Jr. So he technically is full names of his birth father and then his adopted father.
So are we counting him twice?
No, just the one.
So how many are we missing here?
I think you're missing two then.
So it's not Obama.
No, because that's his middle name.
Not Trump, right?
As far as my research, it is actually Obama. I believe he is Barack Hussein Obama Jr.
I thought his father was just Hussein. It was Barack Hussein?
I believe so. I could have that. Okay. I could have that incorrect.
I thought.
And then there's one more kind of interesting little wrinkle as well.
All right, let's see. What are we missing here? So there's one that's not obvious. Is that what you're saying, kind of?
Right. There's another one. It's similar to Gerald Ford, having to do with a birth father and then
father. It's probably Clinton then, right?
That's correct, yes. So he was actually born William Jefferson Blythe III.
Right.
And then his father actually passed away before he was even born, I believe. And then his mother remarried to someone with the last name Clinton. So that's how he became William Jefferson Clinton.
Okay. All right.
So there you go. So yeah, I think that's all about it.
Oh, wait a minute. You're going to give us a comment too, yes.
Yeah, quick comment. I don't want to eat up too much time, but just I remember, I think it was Kira maybe that had a fandom question, and you mentioned, oh, what would the fans of Minds Over Matter be? So I brainstormed a few. I thought maybe the Matterhorns could be one. Since the initials are M-O-M, we could be the Mommies, I suppose. It's kind of goofy. Or my personal favorite is the Overlings, because all fans of Minds Over Matter are just superior to everybody else, of course. So,
all good.
Yeah. I'll leave those
I
out
like
there
that.
For food for thought. Yeah. So yeah.
Send those in an email to me, will you?
Sure. That'd be great. Yeah. Okay, will do. Always so fun listening to you guys. Have a great week. I'll catch you next week.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Yeah, okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And you are listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 5 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Feel free to give us a call. Again, those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. Our panel tonight, that would be Kira Pace, technical editor, Lori Fisher from Diablo Valley College. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. All right, let me give you a couple of questions, and we can move on. Okay, let's see now. This fruit, so I'm looking for the origin of a name. This fruit was native to China, but named after another country. What fruit am I thinking of? This fruit was native to China, but was named after another country.
And that's the name we know it by here?
The name that is taken after another country is the name. Yes, it is the name we know.
Is it kiwi?
It is not. This fruit, and it's a very well-known fruit, nothing obscure, was native to China, but was named after another country.
Yeah. And it, like, is it the actual country's name, or is it going to be something like orange, which is basically like kind of a Netherlandish name?
Well, how can I explain this without giving you too much away here? It is the same first letter as the country's name. And it does sound slightly like the country's name. But it's a derivation, but it's named after the country.
And it's just one word, so it's not like Mandarin orange or something.
It is one word, yes. Okay. Yes. So once more, this fruit, a very common fruit, was originally native to China, but is named after another country. Okay, and second question. I'm going to give you let's see. I have a list of the most translated books from each country. In other words, they have been translated into the most different languages, which is a terrible way to put it. Anyway, so I'm going to give you four countries, and I want you to tell me the work of fiction, or in one case, nonfiction, that is the most translated book written from the authors in these countries. Number one, Canada. Number two, Norway. Number three, Switzerland. Number four, Austria. So again, what is the single most translated book, fiction or nonfiction, from each of these countries? Number one, Canada, which is a work of fiction. Number two, Norway, which is a work of nonfiction. Number three, Switzerland, which is a work of fiction. Number four, Austria, which is a work of fiction and a children's book.
Oh, it's the only children's book? So Canada
that is the
is...
only children's book okay, on that.
Okay.
And did any of these become bestsellers in the United States? Can you tell us?
Yes, most definitely.
Yes. So they're all really well known.
They're all extremely well-known books. Yes, extremely well-known. So once more, just to repeat the two questions. This fruit was native to China, but is named after another country. It's a very well-known fruit, quite common. Second, on the list of the most translated books from each country, I'm going to give you four countries. I want you to tell me the single most translated book. In other words, the book that has been translated into the most languages from each of these countries. Number one, Canada, which is a work of fiction. Number two, Norway, which is a work of nonfiction. Number three, Switzerland, which is a work of fiction. And number four, Austria, which is a fictional, a work of fiction and a children's book.
Is there, and the book one, are any of these authors contemporary and still alive?
No.
Wow. I was thinking
one died within the last few years, but that's about the closest.
Interesting. I was thinking Brokeback Mountain for Canada. Hmm. That was a really popular book, but Annie Proulx still alive, as far as I know.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, this is Fred in West Virginia.
Hey, Fred.
Okay, so I think the kumquat may be a Chinese fruit from Australia.
Well, that's a very interesting guess, but no, it's not that one.
Okay, all right. Let me try a Black Academy Award winner, Forrest Whitaker.
Yes, that's
it. Oh, very good.
What did he win for?
Well, he played Idi Amin, but I don't know the name of
it. Oh, that's great. It's in the Last King of Scotland. That was it.
Right.
Yeah, very good. 2006. Way to go, Fred.
Okay. All right. Good. Okay. And I have a question about New York Times bestseller, the 1619 Project that I read. It's been on the bestseller list for 6 weeks. And what does 1619 refer to?
That's the date the first slave ship came to the United States, or to the colony.
Right.
Yeah, to what is now America. And, well, I learned something from this book. What was the down payment Thomas Jefferson put down on the building of Monticello?
You mean how much, or was it not money?
Yeah, my guess is it's not going to be money, based on the first question.
He put down the lives of slaves or the worth of the slaves?
Well, he owned the slaves. He put down the slaves in down payment.
Right.
150 slaves. I thought that was interesting.
Oh, he
and
did.
What did they say was the major cause in this book, the theory, the major cause of the American Revolution?
Okay, I must admit I have not read this. So, does it have anything to do with there was a movement in Britain to abolish slavery? So, is it at the
absolutely.
Time? Although I don't think it was
absolutely.
Actually done until
for 20 more years. I'd never heard that concept, but it's a concept that the American Revolution was in order for the colonists to keep their slaves. Which is wild. It's a theory. All right. I enjoyed you guys all. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, how are you? So my first question, do very quick, is about world politics, modern and ancient. So I'm really concerned about the talk between Putin and Biden. Tiny bit of risk, but... we could end up in a war. Do you know, doesn't anybody know what C, Ukraine, southern border is? What C?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite.
Look at Ukraine map and tell me what C. Yeah, is it Black Sea, Red Sea, White Sea, blah, 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 blah.
Ukraine. There are two. It's the Black Sea and the Sea of Azov, I think. Is one, is two.
They call it Caucasian Sea. Yeah. Most people have no idea where Ukraine is. That is the whole danger. We may end up in really serious problem. Remind everybody, 7 grams of uranium and plutonium killed 250,000 Japanese in 1945. Okay. So with all, now when we look at ancient conflicts, 1271 BC, that is 3,291 years ago, was the first world peace treaty. Which countries? 1271 BC. Which two countries? Well, one of them was obvious. I asked it.
Well, Egypt.
Of course, Egypt. What is the second one?
Well,
I will tell you because time is short. That time is called the Hittite, which is modern-day Turkey. In fact, it's really engraved in stone. It's very interesting. It's very long, translated in all about 10 ancient languages then. So between Ramesses II, it's called Ramesses the Great, and the king of the Hittite, his name is Wat Wallace. Okay. Also, what is the oldest labor strike? We had many labor strikes in this country. What is the oldest labor strike in history? Again, because I ask it, it has to be?
In Egypt.
How about?
In Egypt. What year?
No idea.
We'll tell you the answer because time is short. 1170 BC. That is 3,192 years ago. 3,192 ago. And it was under Ramesses III. Ramesses III was known for fighting and defeating the sea people, which have did a lot of damage to the Middle East, to the Middle East, or no, Egypt okay. So his Ramesses II was labor. Actually, it was very successful labor strike because all across Egypt, and Ramesses III had to meet the demand and pay them more money. Thank you. Always a great show. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ed.
Thank
bye-bye.
You. Bye-bye.
All right, you're listening to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're enjoying the show. Feel free to give us a call. The two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. Kira, it is your turn.
All right. Sorry. According to Rover.com, what were the top 10 dog names in 2021? Got five names that are traditionally female dog names and five names that are traditionally male dog names, but there's crossover. So looking for the 10 top dog names of 2021.
Okay. Well, so you're looking for, you're not necessarily looking for the top female and the top male. You're looking like just the 10. General.
Generally, yes, but it does happen to be five traditionally female dog names and try five traditionally male dog names. But as I mentioned, there's some crossover. I spent some time this past month with a dog that had a name from one list, but was the other gender. So,
well, as Dana and Lori both know, we're okay with the names being very fluid.
Yes, so. Basically 10.
Are any of them named after famous people? Is that a thing? Or are they mostly of the king, Fido? You know,
mostly I'd say a lot of these are characters.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Not all, but a lot.
Yeah.
I always speculate based on who I run into while I'm walking my dog and various mm-hmm. other.
Who do you see?
Various other things like that. Well, of course, there are just way too many Baileys.
There are a lot of Baileys, but not on this list. I also know several Bailey dogs.
And
she said they're named after characters. So
not all, but there are several that are.
Yeah, they're the ever-popular Buddy and Max.
Buddy and Max are both on the list, so that is two bells right there.
All right.
I don't know any Buddies. Who is that, David? David's showing a dog. Is that Buddy or is that Max?
Buddy Max.
And then I hear a lot of Lucy's for girls.
Lucy is also on the list. Nice job. Right. So we have Buddy, right. Max, and Lucy. David has a dog. He's showing his dog, Rudy. Rudy, you'll be pleased perhaps to know, is not on the list. So Rudy gets to be the only Rudy at the vet.
Named after Rudy Giuliani, no doubt.
Rudy.
Okay, I'll make one more guess, and I hear the other female name I hear is Bella. I hear that.
I know so many Bellas. Yes, Bella is the top female dog name.
Wow.
Of 2021.
All right. Okay, and that's as far.
Now we have David's other dog. Which one's that?
Toby, also not on the list.
probably was a few years ago. Yeah.
Okay, so let's go over the whole thing once more, if you would.
Sure. According to Rover.com, what were the top 10 names for dogs in 2021? And Dana has so far gotten Bella, Lucy, Max, and Buddy, all four on the list, looking for six more. Also,
Bailey.
Bailey wasn't
totally surprised at. Yeah. I'm totally surprised I wasn't on that list.
Anyway, but Bella and Max were the top female and male dog names, so you got them both. Nice job.
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Fido, what does that mean in Latin?
A fidelity, faithfulness.
Yeah, faithful. Yes, I am faithful. Maybe the other name is I am fickle. I don't know the Latin for that. But anyway, is the answer one of your questions tangerine?
It is not.
Oh, I just don't remember the question, but I just thought of a country and a fruit, and tangerine came up.
That's a city, well, not a country. But anyway,
oh, you're right. Tangiers, tangerine. I was just talking about Aaron Burr yesterday, and I didn't get your question, but I think it was, I said Ironside, Perry Mason, and Perry Mason was a prosecutor. Does that answer any of your questions?
Perry Mason was a defense attorney.
Yeah, he was not a prosecutor.
He was defense attorney.
Absolutely.
So, did that answer your questions? I can't remember what the question was.
The question was for the author, and Lori let us know that the author of Perry Mason is Earl Stanley Gardner.
Oh, well, I wouldn't have gotten it. But I did get Forrest Whitaker, not in time, though. But, okay, here's what I'm, you know, from in the past, you thought, what kind of connection did I make between the Butcher of Lyon and Klaus Barbie, and I had mentioned that he died on the same day in 1991, late September, same day as Dr. Seuss. And he said, that's a hell of a connection. But in fact, I should clarify, the connection I made was, because I remember when it was on the news back in 1991, I just said, wow, how you can die on the same day and just the different ways life can bounce you around. You can end up having two different lives you can lead. You know, I mean, it was just something I had reflected on, and I just wanted to mention that it was like, wow, what life can do to us. You never know. So, but here, let me follow up something. This was last week. Remember we were talking about Betty White, and I also mentioned Gavin McLeod, Ted Knight, and John Amos. And what did they have in common?
Yeah, we did that last week. They were on
the What also was in common was that they had no spin-offs. They had subsequent series that they were on. Good Times for John Amos, Love Boat for Gavin McLeod, and of course Betty White had shows, but no spin-offs. For instance, that's what makes them different from Lou Grant. He had a spin-off. Just wanted to, you know, clarify for the record what they actually had in common. But let me ask you a quick question. What do the Beatles have in common, or have in relationship to the word Dakota?
John Lennon lived there when he was killed.
John Lennon lived in the Dakota, and what about Paul McCartney?
Did he visit the Dakota? Maybe during the SNL
thing? Is it a different Dakota? Did he date someone named Dakota?
Think of a lyric in a song.
Rocky Raccoon?
You got it. Rocky Raccoon. The Black Mountain Hills of Dakota. The Olivia. And the third one is Billy J. Kramer.
And the Dakotas.
And the Dakotas. Yeah. They recorded several. They were under the management of Brian Epstein. And they recorded, three Beatles songs. There's just a connection of the Dakota to the Beatles. Just something I took note of this week.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
All right. All right. Bye-bye. And we're a little past halfway through the show, so let's quickly repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Kira, start with you.
Sue Grafton wrote 25 of the 26 novels in her Alphabet series before her 2017 death. What was the working title of the Z book? Also, I've given you the names of some fictional literary detectives. I just want the name of the author. The ones we have left are William of Baskerville, Inspector Morse, V.I. Warshawski, Chief Inspector Adam Daglish, Inspector Bucket, and Kay Scarpetta. Also, according to Rover.com, what were the top 10 dog names in 2021? So far, we have Bella, Lucy, Max, and Buddy. Looking for six more.
How about Sue
William
Grafton?
William of Baskerville. Yeah, wait a minute. Go ahead, Lori.
I was going to say, is Sue Grafton, Z is for Zoot Suit?
It is not for Zoot Suit.
Okay, but that would be fun. Okay, go ahead, Dan.
So William of Baskerville threw me off for a second, but then that's in the name of the rose. So that's Umberto Eco.
It is Umberto Eco.
Nice job. Yes. That wasn't a bad movie. It's not
a good movie.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Also a book. Just want to throw that out there.
Yeah.
For those who read, yeah. No, I read. But yes, I did not read that book. I must admit, I did see the movie though. Okay, and Lori, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, Sidney Poitier was nominated 6 times for Best Foreign Actor by the British Academy of Film. We have Lilies of the Field and Heat of the Night. I'm looking for the 4 others, and that's all I have for now.
Okay. So this fruit was native to China, but is named after another country. So it's a very common fruit, by the way. Second question, I have a list of the most translated book. In other words, the book has been translated to the most languages from each country. And I gave you 4 countries. 1 is Canada, 2 is Norway, 3 is Switzerland, 4 is Austria. The only nonfiction one is Norway. And the Austria one is a children's book, or basically thought of as a children's book.
Question about the Norway one. Is it going to be, is it older than like 19th century?
It is newer than the 19th century. The one from Norway is the newest of the 4.
Kara, do you know who wrote Pippi Longstocking?
Astrid Lindgren, but he said no. Lindgren,
that's
Lindgren,
Sweden,
but yeah, and also not, it's a children's book, which is why I did not guess Anne of Green Gables for Canada, which I was certain it would be.
Well, it is Anne of Green Gables for Canada, which I consider that a young adult book rather than the children's book.
Okay.
But I will give you full credit.
Well, thank you.
It is Anne of Green Gables.
That's good.
Well, does that make Switzerland the Little Prince?
It does not. That would be France.
Is it? Because it was France, yeah. I thought it was Swiss. Okay.
Yeah. So, okay. And let's see. Lori, I think it was your turn.
I think it is. I have a list question, but I'll hold it over to next time. This is a short list. You've probably run into in the world this thing called Masterclass, where really famous people are giving masterclasses and all kinds of things. The original, it launched in 2015, and they picked 3 categories that they thought would attract a lot of business, and they did. I want to know who was the teacher of their first 3 courses. One was in acting, one was in writing, and one was in sports. And I'm going to leave it vague as to which sport. So these were the first 3 masterclasses, and they thought if they would get really famous people to do them, they'd be successful, and they were. Since then, they've gone on to great success. Who was the teacher of acting? Who was the writer? And who was the sports figure that they got to agree? All completely well-known. In their field, not as teachers necessarily.
Well, one of them was a tennis player, if I recall reading. Is that correct?
It is.
That was the sport one, yeah. I just remember vaguely that. Of course, I don't remember which tennis player it was.
Well, guess famous tennis players that would attract people to take a class from them.
Well, was it a woman?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead, Kira.
I was going to ask if you remembered if it was a female or male tennis player.
Well, if it's a woman, I'll say Serena Williams.
It's correct. Very good.
All right.
Serena Williams was the first sports athlete teacher for Masterclass. I'm looking for an actor and a writer now.
Yeah, is it 2015?
It started in 2015, yeah.
And these two people were well known then and are well known now.
And still alive now?
Yes.
Okay.
So an actor, a sports person, and a writer, is that what the third one?
Yeah,
is that what
the third one, yes. So we're looking for the actor and the writer.
So is the writer a serious writer or like a mass market sort of writer?
Mass market sort of writer.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, they've gotten some serious writers, but this person is much more in the, boy, if you want to write a bestseller, go to this
James
person.
James Patterson.
That's it. Yeah, very good. Go. James Patterson is right. Nice. So now we're looking for the actor.
Okay, leave it out.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hi, Thomas.
I'm trying for the Sydney Poitier British Awards.
What do you think?
The Defiant Ones?
Yes, very good. You might know on that one.
What about Raisin in the Sun?
That's another one. Very good. Keep going.
No, that's all I can do.
I'll keep guessing.
Great to be with you guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye. All right. Let me give you a question here. Let's see. What time is it? Okay. All right, what are the two most popular American cheeses that are named after places in the U.S.? The two best-selling American cheeses that are named after places in the United States. Give you each one guess.
Well, we got to come up with names of cheeses that are...
Monterey Jack?
Monterey Jack is one. Very good.
That's very good.
Originally made in Monterey, California. Yes, by
really
monks,
was, huh?
From what I understand, yes.
The monks in Monterey?
Is that true?
Yeah. Yes, supposedly.
Yeah. Right. I didn't know. All right. Let's see. What other
so
cheese?
What's the other one?
And we're not talking about like Vermont sharp cheddar or something like that, right? Because cheddar is really the name or...
That's a decent guess, but no, it's not that. Okay. So
how about
the cheese is named this? No, there was... It's a particular type of cheese. So in other words, the Vermont sharp cheddar would not really qualify. It just happens to be cheddar cheese that is
qualified
made in Vermont.
Cheddar. Sure.
Yeah. So yes. So again, what are the two most popular American cheeses named after places in the U.S.? And Monterey Jack is one. What is the other?
Kira, how about someplace in Wisconsin or Michigan? Wisconsin should have a cheese, something named after that.
I mean, Zingerman's has like their Detroit Street cheese, but I can't imagine it's as popular.
I don't think
in the
it's not
US.
Popular enough. Yeah, we'll leave
all
it
right.
Out.
Think about it.
Leave it out with the masterclass app.
Yeah, leave it out. Yeah, with the masterclass. Yeah, that's it. That's a good pairing right there. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Hi, am I on?
You are.
Okay, Fran. So, my question is: Ulysses Grant was not his actual birth original name, Ulysses Grant. He had a first name before Ulysses. Do you know what it was?
Hiram. Hiram
yes.
Ulysses.
Yes, and do you know why he became Ulysses Grant? And not that.
Well, is it? I mean, there are different versions of this, but it's because it was that would have made it the first two initials U.S.
That I don't know. I mean, it's possible. I have a different answer.
Well, go. All right. What's your answer? I mean, I've heard different stories about this, and yours may be far more true than mine. So
that's possible. Well, apparently he went to. I think it was West Point, and he went into the military, and when he was registered, they registered him under the name Ulysses Grant, and he said, my name is Hiram, and they said, well, you know, you're registered here as Ulysses Grant, either take it or leave, you can't be in here, so he had to accept Ulysses Grant as his name, and he put an S in the middle, which means nothing.
Well, your story is about as legitimate as my story. So
it's a new book somebody's written. It's about Ulysses S. Grant and those things that we really don't know about him. And he was apparently a very greater man than we give him credit for. My second question, Barry, you're talking about fruits. I have one here. There's another name for the avocado. Do you know what it is?
Is it like a nickname, like a euphemism? Or is it an official name?
It's official, but I don't know where it comes from. I don't know where they call it.
Is it like aguacate or whatever the Aztec-derived word is?
Oh, that's good.
I can't hear you too well, but please.
It's like aguacate or some such? Aguacate?
Well, I have a different answer. I don't know if that's one, too.
I don't know.
It's called an alligator pear.
Oh, sure.
Oh, okay, sure.
Sure, you know. So, okay.
Well, it's so we're it's sure very now addictive. That we've heard it. Let's put it that way. Yeah.
Okay. So, thank you all. Have a pleasant evening.
Thank you, Fran. Appreciate
Thanks.
It. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 5 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Feel free to give us a call. We've got about, 14 minutes left. So, yeah, give us a call. Area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free 866-798-8255. This is about the usual time when I ask Kieran, Lori, if either one has a short question. And Lori always says yes.
I have a quick answer for you from the studio audience regarding the other cheese. And he's a Midwesterner, so I feel like this is a good answer.
Okay, go ahead.
He says Colby is Colby, Wisconsin.
Colby is correct. Colby, whoa. Wisconsin is correct. All yes, right. Very good.
Good work.
Very good. Okay. Once more, who has a short question?
I not only have a short question, but it ties into the beginning of the show. It's a question about Arby's. So this will be good.
All right. Well, it's nice to bring things around in a certain way. Yes. So, okay.
So for the holidays, Arby's developed a new beverage. What beverage was it and what flavor was it?
Was it horseradish flavored?
It was not.
Okay.
Oh, well, Kira just has been through there, so she should know this.
She should know.
Yeah,
I'll give you a hint, okay, because she's been through there. I haven't been to Arby's in a long time. I'm pretty sure that they could not sell it at Arby's itself. It would have to be sold off Arby's.
Yeah, I definitely didn't see any drinks in the drive-thru.
Wait a minute then. Then you're implying that it has alcohol.
I am stating it has alcohol.
Do they have like a branded red wine?
They have a branded some kind of thing that is not red wine. Keep going, though.
Eggnog. You said holiday.
Really good guess, but not eggnog.
So this is, okay. Well, then.
Mulled cider.
That's something you'd think they do, but it wasn't that.
So wait a minute. This sounds like it has nothing to do with the holidays. It's just like a strong. Some sort of strong.
It's a strong liquor. Drink that you mix with other things, and people enjoy it quite a bit.
So, like a gin or a vodka kind of thing.
It's a vodka. Okay, so I'm giving you half credit there. It's better than that, though. What flavor?
Is this where the holidays tie in?
No, this is where Arby's kind of ties in.
Horseradish flavored vodka.
It's such a good idea, but they didn't go with horseradish. They went with something else. And according to the thing I read, which was rating new alcohols, they said it was pretty tasty.
Apple?
In a Bloody Mary. Well, vodka's used in Bloody Mary. Yeah, yeah. Flavor. I don't think it would be good, but it's something I think they sell in Arby's.
Right. Well, so apple is my other guess because they have apple turnovers.
Not apple.
So the flavor of it, just to sort of maybe help a little bit, the flavor of it is an existing food that Arby's sells. In other words, it's like a food that Arby's is famous for. It's not like, you know, vodka, roast beef drink or something like that.
They do sell it, but I don't think it's what they're famous for.
Jamocha beef. Almond no. Vodka.
No, it's a side dish with the roast beef, a side thing you get with the roast beef.
Oh.
French fries?
Okay. Yes. It's French fried flavored vodka.
Sure. Why not, Arby's? Why really? Not?
And it's a big hit. So give your, you get a shoe share, Bell, on that. French fries.
Vodka's made out of potatoes. Aren't they all kind of French fried flavors?
No. They're the regs are just regular potatoes. These.
All right. Sure. Yep.
It's delicious. I don't know if it's delicious.
I guess that makes sense because vodka is made out of potatoes. Vodka is made out of potatoes, right? Yes. Or that's one of the ingredients in vodka.
And this article said it tasted delicious in your Bloody Mary. So, audience, unplug
all right. I think we've eaten up enough time with that now. And all right, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Lois in Berkeley. Is one of the books Heidi from Switzerland?
You're absolutely right. Nice. Very good.
And what about a man called Ovi from Norway?
No, not that.
Okay, and I almost got the French fries, but you beat me to it.
Oh, you've heard of it. Well, you've heard of it, though. Have you tasted it?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Robert and Karen in Bernal Heights.
Hi, Robert. Hi, Karen.
And we are... shocked that Colby is more popular in America than Philadelphia cream cheese.
Well, that's not real cheese.
What is cheese? It's not real cheese.
Is that considered cheese, really? Okay. Well, I'll have to look into that, but on the list of the best-selling cheeses in the U.S., they didn't even say cream cheese, so perhaps the people that put together the list didn't consider cream cheese an actual cheese.
I'm on Team Robert and Karen on this one. I think they're right. They got a point. You think it's a case?
Think it's a cheese? I don't think it's a cheese. We'll look into it. Our staff will be on it 30 weeks.
Well, actually, you can make cheesecake without Philadelphia cream cheese, but it's the most common cheesecake in America.
Okay.
So, as far as Chinese fruit. How about persimmons, as in Persia?
Oh, I have to give you some credit because I'm giving you half credit because Persia is actually the country, okay? But it is not persimmon.
It's not persimmons, okay.
It is not persimmon, but it is Persia. So let's think of another fruit that starts with a P.
Pear.
No, keep going.
It would be from China.
Pomegranate? No.
No, yeah, keep going.
Not pomegranate, what? Not plum.
Peach?
Peach. Yes.
Peach. Wow.
So peach, the peach was originally native to China, but was named after Persia. It's from, the name derives from Latin for Persian apple. So that's, I'm giving you half credit for that.
And I'll name two of the detective authors. D.I. Wasowski was created by Sarah Paretsky.
Yay, that is correct.
And Adam Dalgleish, who had quite a career on the BBC, was created by P.D. James.
Also correct. Nice job.
Good.
All right. Thank you all. Stay safe.
Thank you. All right. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello. I'm down to one guess and a vote for Tillamook Cheese. I was thinking about Heidi, and then so my other one was the actor. I was thinking maybe Al Pacino taught a master class.
That's a great guess, but not him. Not he.
All right. Thank you so much. I love your show. Sweet dreams, you guys.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. I just lost the P.D. James one.
Oh, I'm sorry. Here's your bell.
That was my husband's guess at the beginning of the show. And then just a couple of guesses. Was Sidney Poitier one of the movies that he was recognized for? By the British Academy, would that be Patch of Blue?
It is. That's number five.
Oh, good job.
One
good
more.
Job.
Really good.
Yeah. And then one guess around the masterclass would have been Kevin Spacey?
Not Kevin Spacey.
Okay.
Yeah, another good
and then
guess.
One last guess with the William of Baskerville detective. That wasn't Arthur Conan Doyle, was it?
ask her?
No, that turned out to be the In the Name of the Rose, the Umberto Eco.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Happy New Year.
Thank you. You too. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi. Yeah, you're on. Go ahead, please.
Oh, hi. This is Diane from San Francisco. I'm thinking about the cheeses. Is one of them Tillamook?
It is not. I'm probably going to... I feel like I'm going to get raked over the coals about this. So the two have been gotten, and one was Monterey Jack, and the other was Colby. So...
And why not Tillamook?
Why not?
Actually, probably the same reason Philadelphia, because I think those are brands and not the actual cheese.
Yeah,
right.
I think so. Thank you for saying that.
Tillamook is not a brand, right? That's a kind of cheese.
It's a kind of cheese.
Yeah, it's just not
the kind of cheddar.
It's not the top.
All I can tell you is that they are not the two most popular. That's all I can tell you. The two most popular domestic cheeses are Monterey Jack and Colby.
Okay. Thank you so much. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
The cheese wars are on.
I know. I look forward to hearing more about Dana's emails by next week.
You're going
to
get grilled on this.
The ironic thing is I can't stand cheese. I can't stand it. Anyway.
Justice.
Yeah. And this is cheese's revenge on me, I guess. So let's see. We have... All right. Take one more call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Well, hi there. It's Danny and Sandra in exile in Albuquerque. I have no answer. Sandra has one, but I'm moved to say that avocado comes from the Aztec word aguacatl, which means testicle. I just had to get that out there.
Thank you.
Good.
All right, and thank you. And Sandra?
I don't really know, but you know, I just because I want to laugh, I think it's the Zardoz.
No, it is Zardoz. No,
Zardoz, the Sean Connery movie.
Sure, Sean Connery.
All right, that's it. That's what we love.
All right,
thanks, Albuquerque.
And you had the great honor of being the last caller. So let's clean up here. And Kira,
Z is for zero.
Oh,
Z is for zero. Yeah. Inspector Morse was created by Colin Dexter. Inspector Bucket was created by Charles Dickens, and Kay Scarpetta is from Patricia Cornwall. According to Rover.com, these were the most popular dog names in 2021: Bella, Luna, Lucy, Daisy, Zoe, Max, Charlie, Cooper, Buddy, and Milo. That's what I got.
All right, Lori.
Yeah, the missing. Let's see, Sidney Poitier, the missing picture that he was nominated for Best Foreign Actor actually predates The Defiant Ones. It's called Edge of the City, one of his earlier films. And the first person to teach acting for a masterclass was Dustin Hoffman. That's it for me.
Well, the single most translated book from these various countries, Canada, Anne of Green Gables, Norway, Kon-Tiki, which is the nonfiction book. Switzerland is Heidi, and Austria is Bambi. So if we did not get to your call, I do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 5 p.m. My thanks to Kira Pace, technical editor, Lori Fisher from Davo Valley College. Of course, David Latulipe, you'll handle the board and phone. My name is Dana Rodriguez. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. Please join us next Sunday at 5. Have a great week, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye.
Ain't wrong, you're right. If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that.